Hello, my name is Ben Burrell and welcome back to Bob Dylan Album by Album, a podcast that takes an in-depth look at each Bob Dylan studio recording, record by record. Although this episode is a little bit different. Thanks for your follows on Instagram and Twitter over the last couple of weeks. You can find us, if you haven't done so already, at Bob Dylan Podcast. This is a special episode all about the 1975 single Hurricane. When talking about the album Desire on episode 2, I felt there was more to say on this song, but I didn't want it to dominate that episode. Apologies, there's going to be some slight repetition here from that episode, but I think we need to look at this song in more detail. It's a swirling epic that would not only become one of Dylan's most famous singles, but one of his most important ones too.
Pistol shots ring out in a barroom night. Into Betty Valentine from the upper hall. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood.
Coming out at the end of 1975 and preceding its parent album Desire by a couple of months, Hurricane saw Dylan return to the protest song. What I particularly enjoy about this return is how very Dylan it is. This genre, if we can call it that, is what he's most famous for amongst more casual fans. And of course, you would think an artist returning to the thing they're most famous for would be a safeguard or a back-to-basics approach to please a disgruntled fanbase. That's definitely not the case here. Dylan just found a subject matter he wanted to write a song about, and it just so happens to be in the form of a protest-type song. Even then, this feels more like a revolt than a protest. It's aggressive, passionate and bitter, and is a long way away from the times There Are Changing's mournful discontent. This is on the front foot, screaming in the face of the unjust. The story behind the song, as it's been well documented, is about the false imprisonment of the boxer Reuben Carter, who was accused of triple homicide in the Lafayette bar shootings in Paterson, New Jersey. The case hinged on a testimony of two white men, Arthur Bradley and Alfred Bellow, who claimed they were en route to rob a factory when they witnessed Carter and his friend John Artis, both who were black, carry out the shootings. Eventually, Carter was sentenced to 30 years to life and Artis got 15 to life. Bradley and Bellow got reduced sentences for their crimes. In prison, Carter began to clear his name. He wrote an autobiography which he sent to Dylan, sparking Bob's original interest, and Dylan would eventually visit him in prison on December 7, 1975, and spend the next day raising over $100,000 for Carter's defence at a Madison Square Garden concert. The whole story is brilliantly framed by the song's instrumentation. It really highlights that tension and spite. Howard Wyeth's drums drive the tune with a clattering chaos. The fills aren't so much as played as they crash down using all the skins, ending in a bombastic cymbal smash. This is enhanced by Luther Rix's bongos on the song's makeshift bridge, giving it a racing out of control feel as the two types of percussion collide together over now famous lines like, "This is the story of the hurricane, but it won't be over till they clear his name." Those lines are backed up with some excellent vocal performances from Ronnie Blakely and Stephen Soles, adding texture to Dylan's vocal. On top of that, the guitars sound like they're being sawn in half as they're being played. You can almost hear the strings being pushed to breaking point as Bob rattles his way through the chords.
Yes, that's the story of the hurricane.
The real standout instrument here, as on the rest of the album Desire, is of course Scarlett Riviera's violin. It's hard to imagine this song having the same musical impact without it. Its manic gypsy quality gives an anxious, spontaneous, exciting edge, and it does a great job setting the scene for the lyrics as the story shifts from emotion to emotion. Listen to its sedate tone matching the lines depicting a free Reuben riding around, to then shifting to an almost howl after Dylan's lyrics on Carter's treatment, especially that section on turning a man into a mouse.
And ride a horse along the trail. But then they took him to the jailhouse where they tried to turn a man into a mouse.
It could even be argued the whole violin part represents Carter's mood or mental state during the story, almost giving him a voice amongst all this talk. The violin screeches when he's first arrested, and elsewhere it bleeds with sadness on those lyrics about the trial.
The trial was a pig circus, he'd never had a chance. The judge made Reuben's witnesses, drunkards for the slums. To the white folks who watched, he was a revolutionary bird.
This idea is also featured on the song's guitar chord changes. The bridge has a shift between C and the song's most used chord F, both quite powerful major chords. That's over lines like "Here comes the story of the hurricane," creating a real forthright sound that suits the strong boxing persona of Carter. We then shift to minor chords of D minor, E minor and A minor, again around that C, which have a more sadder, somber tone. This is over sedate lines of "One time he could have been the champion of the world," helping to echo that lonely, discarded figure that we hear in the lyrics. Unlike some of Dylan's early protest songs, where the instrumentation was merely a vehicle for the lyrics, here the atmosphere really helps to make them. It feels like an experience, like you're living through this with the people in the song, rather than just listening to an account or a statement. What is similar to those 60s protest songs, though, is Dylan continues to have a great melody around the lyrical elements. A song with something to say that's not also a good tuneful song defeats the object. Thankfully, Dylan has always been able to deliver in both areas at once, and Hurricane more than stands up as a piece of music away from the meaning. In fact, we get one of Bob's best ever hooks in the form of "Here comes the story of the hurricane" and its various incarnations. This is so important. It gives the subject matter a longevity and exposure you just wouldn't get with a normal run-of-the-mill protest song that isn't also a good commercial song. It's no surprise the song had another lease of life when the film on the Carter trial was released in 1999.
One thing I could do, and the only thing, was box.
Here comes the story of Eric Kane, the man the authorities gave.
Oh, your first book, huh?
16th round.
Reuben Hurricane Carter.
When looking back over his extensive career, we can view this as one of Dylan's most successful singles, if not the most successful. While it didn't outperform some of his others in the charts, although it did give him a decent-sized hit in the US, charting at number 33 on the Billboard Hot 100 and going platinum in Australia and Italy, more importantly, it might have been the tipping point for Carter's subsequent retrial and the case ending up in the Supreme Court in 1985. I'm not saying the song single-handedly brought about these two incidences that led to Carter's freedom, but it did help to bring a recognisable public voice to a belief that otherwise might have struggled to find it in quite the same way. A lot of this is down to Dylan's writing partner. Bob wrote the song with Desire album collaborator Jax Levy, a New York playwright who was brought to Dylan's attention after his work with The Byrds on the song Chestnut Mare. Levy's playwright background, like a lot of the other songs on the Parent album, brings an important structure and linear timeline to the storytelling in the track. That opening line has a brilliant scene-setting quality about it. Pistol shots ring out in a barroom night. Enter Patty Valentine from the upper hall. It feels like we're plunged into the action straight away, like the instrumentation beforehand was the opening credits, and this is the blockbusting first scene. The pace from there is formidable. We swing from action to action, from murder scene to police station to courtroom. It's a thrilling filmic ride, and you feel that Levy really helps to bring a bit of order to the wonderful image-inducing lyrics. What's really strong about the song's lyrics, too, is they don't shy away from the people involved. Dylan names names, usually full names, highlighting his rage, like he's bringing his own sense of personal justice to the people involved. This would land him in hot water. Eyewitness Patty Valentine sued Dylan for defamation, claiming she suffered emotional distress because she was mentioned by name in the song and portrayed as a liar. Dylan countered that these descriptions were accurate, and the only reason he put her name into the song was because it was beautiful and it tied the whole thing together. The case was eventually dismissed. There's also a great line where the cop describes Carter as being "No Gentleman Jim," a reference to the father of modern boxing, Gentleman Jim Corbett, a white boxer from the 1800s known for his manners. A clever little moment from Dylan where he manages to tie the song's imagery of boxing and themes of race and historical attitudes together in one fell swoop. Not all the lines were deemed so clever, though. Before the song was even released, lawyers at Columbia Records made Dylan change some of the words to avoid a lawsuit. Originally, he had a section describing Bellew and Bradley stealing possessions from the shooting victims. They were not actually accused of this, and it was lost in a complete re-record of the song after the rest of the Desire album had been completed in October 75. Elsewhere, the lyrics are a bit problematic at points. Dylan uses the N-word, which on paper today looks a bit odd, but the intentions and the use feel more warranted in context. Obviously, in a song about racial tension that is as upfront and transparent as Hurricane is, it does make sense for that word to be used if needed. You wouldn't omit it from a film about a subject matter like this, so why take it out of a song? It also creates a really interesting moment as the band falls out of time, almost at the shock of the word.
After the black folks, he was just a crazy nigger. No one doubted that he pulled the trigger.
This is obviously not the case, but it does help to add to the drama of that moment, which ends up becoming the song's emotional denouement. Elsewhere, Bob's description of Carter does get a little sycophantic at times, especially when we hear that line of Reuben describing his boxing career as something he just does for pay and when he's done, he's on his way. This forms part of criticism Dylan received due to excessive poetic license. This was levelled at him during the single's release. It was claimed that Bob didn't take into account or highlight Carter's violent criminal past, possibly a reason why Bob eventually stopped playing the song live. And while that obviously does need to be taken into consideration, we need to remember this is a piece of art. And while it does have more than passing historical and social merit, it's still art. It's not a string of facts, it's an opinion. It's a presentation of an argument about an incident. This is not Dylan profiling the man, more the context the man was in. At times he can cross the line into glorification, but I think Dylan is more than justified to have this poetic license in a story like this to really help convey his thoughts. As the song closes, we get one final repetition of that reoccurring line that is laced all over this song. But at one time, he could have been the champion of the world. This really helps to not only ram home Dylan's point that this successful man has been taken apart by the state just because of the colour of his skin, but also adds a really personal edge to proceedings. The more you hear it throughout the song, the more despairing it becomes. It evokes a strong what could have been feeling, beautifully posed over those 12 words.
Put in a prison cell, but one time.
This wheezing harmonica here at the end really helps to sum up the exhaustion and disgruntlement of this song. In many ways, looking back, this is the perfect Dylan tune. It's got something to say, it's got a cause to fight for, and that's all wrapped up in some interesting production and a killer hook. It's no wonder this is one of his most talked about and loved songs in his entire back catalogue. Thank you for listening to this special episode. There will be more specials coming up soon, and next week I'll return to looking at another Bob Dylan album. In the meantime, as I said before, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bob Dylan Podcast. And while you're here, give us a rating, 5 stars or 4 stars, and don't forget to click subscribe as well. Thank you once again for listening, and I'll see you next week.